Women the Engineer would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, the Yagara and Turrbal people of Meanjin. We pay respects to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. Hello and welcome to another episode of Women That Engineer, a podcast to empower female engineers to break the bias one story at a time. Today I'm chatting with my friend Chloe. She's a graduate electrical engineer who's currently working as a graduate electrical engineer in the water industry. And it's really nice to have you here, Chloe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I kind of mean that literally, because this is the first in-person episode I've ever done. Mm-hmm. So thanks for my test case.
No, I'm more than happy to. It's great to be here.
Before we get started into the episode, something new that I've kicked off is for our guests to bring a win or a learning to the show. Do you have a win or a learning to share with everyone?
So I do have a win this week, and that is that I went to a networking night for the water industry. It's the Australian Water Association.
Yes.
And because I'm very new to the industry, yep, it was actually really cool to go and meet some new people. And there was a lot of young professionals there as well. So mm-hmm. It felt like a win to actually step out your comfort zone and go to that. So yeah, That's a win.
That's nice. Did you go on your own?
I went on my own.
That's really
which
brave.
Was scary.
Yeah. It's so scary going to events on your own. I always drag someone. Mm. Yeah.
Well, someone was unfortunately sick. But, was like, I've got to go.
Oh, I love that. Good on you for going, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you make some new LinkedIn connections?
Mm-hmm.
We love it. My goal every time I go to a networking event is to meet at least one person to add on LinkedIn.
Yeah. And the people were fantastic. And even just having the chat, I have a much broader understanding of the water industry.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. I'm glad you got something out of it. I don't know if I can call it a win or a learning. I suppose it's both. This is actually brought to my attention by a colleague. Shout out Susan, if you're listening. No hate if you're not. So she was telling me that you can change your team's ringtone and you can change it to a bunch of options. But she suggested the remix version and I have done that. And I don't get very many calls, but it's just more exciting when I do. And I'm going to play it for everybody. So you can have a little intro to what the remix sounds like. And you go into Teams. Your profile will be on the top right. You click the three dots next to it. Go to calls and then ringtone. And you just scroll down and click remix. So this is what it sounds like for everybody. I like it.
No, that's epic.
It's really fun. It's really fun.
I think that should be your new intro music for your podcast.
Anyway, so let's maybe get into the episode.
Sure.
So Chloe, I know you listen to the podcast. So you know that I'm going to ask you, how did you get into engineering?
Okay. So it kind of started a while ago, year 9 of high school. Yeah. Year 8, actually.
Yeah.
So it was, they did the information night for your year 9 electives.
Yeah.
And they had this new subject called iSTEM, and I was like, oh my god, this sounds so interesting, because they explained it you get to blow things up.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I like science, I like math, so I always did. And I was like, oh, could be interesting, not really sure, but I decided to put that down as a preference.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up being the subject I did for my high school elective.
Oh, nice.
But when I got into that class, I was the only female.
Yeah.
When there was 20 other boys. Mm-hmm. That's quite scary for a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Didn't let that stop me. So we got to do lots of fun projects. Yeah. And, I got to see some new things. And then that kind of was if I can do this as a career, I will.
Mm-hmm.
So then, studied the science math subjects for senior subjects. And then, I got into the engineering course.
Oh, that's so brave of young Chloe to do that.
I'm proud of her.
Me too. It's a big thing for a girl, especially in 14.
It was not what I was expecting, because I thought, I was just like, why does this so, it sounds so interesting.
Yeah, this is so fun. Why aren't there more girls here?
Yeah, it was quite, probably my first experience of the contrast and imbalance.
Yeah, definitely. And 14-year-old boys, I think, can definitely be boys club, that's great. And
you
graduated from electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
What made you go into electrical?
So I did electrical biomed.
Mm-hmm.
And I, so going backwards, I guess. Yep. I decided I wanted to do environmental civil engineering when I first started.
And oop.
That was like the thing I wanted to do. I was like, oh, this is so me. And then I did first year engineering and you do all your like core engineering subjects. Mm-hmm. And I realized I didn't actually like civil. No hate to civils.
No hate but to us.
It just wasn't me.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoyed the electrical subject. Yeah. And I was like, wow, like it just made sense the way that it was like a good mix of science, but also technology. And that was very me. So
yeah,
I was like, you know what? Why not? I'll try it. And then I always wanted to do biomed because I was like some of the other listeners on your podcast, like, oh, I was interested in science. I was interested in medicine. Didn't know what to do. So
yes,
that was also me.
Yes. No, that's a really common thing. I think, especially as a girl, I think you are really pushed towards like science or medicine. Mm-hmm. I had a chemistry teacher. She was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, you're really good at chemistry. Like you should kind of follow the science path, but no one actually suggested engineering, which was really interesting. And how did you find out like about the biomedical engineering? Because some people like think like when they search biomed, they just find out about biomed science and not necessarily engineering part.
I think it goes back to what I knew about the medicine industry. So I come, like my family, there's a few doctors in there, to be honest. I could not be a doctor. Not me. But there's so many medical devices. So you've got your MRIs, you've got your CT scanners. And I was like so interested in how they worked. So I think just having an understanding of that medicine relies on technology, that's what appealed to me. And then when I found out that that's something you could do, I was like, that's so cool.
Oh, no, that is so cool.
But, yeah.
Yeah. No. But now you're working in the water industry. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a change.
Such a change.
Yeah. But in my previous episode, I was actually speaking to someone in the biomedical industry, more on like the chemical side. Little plug.
It was pretty good.
Thanks, Chloe.
That's right.
And she was talking about like a lack of grad programs. Was that something that you noticed and that's what made you go to the water industry?
Yes. So I was really fortunate during my engineering placement hours to have a biomedical focused placement.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, that was fantastic. But when I was there, I realized that they didn't really have grad programs set up. And that's because in Australia specifically, it's still quite small, the industry. So there were a few companies, but, you know, you have to move to Sydney and they only had like 2 spots out of the whole country.
Yeah.
And I mean, whilst that's like fantastic that there is something, I decided to go for a new change. I had an electrical degree for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
No, that's cool. And so what does your day-to-day job look like at the moment?
So I'm currently in my first rotation.
Yeah.
And that's a planning engineering role. Mm-hmm. So that's been quite interesting. Mm-hmm. So you get to oversee consultants and work on like the technical design, but also double check with standards. Yep. So a lot of different things every day.
Mm-hmm.
No day's the same.
No, that's cool. Nice. And so you're currently in the water industry, do you have plans to kind of go through that grad program, develop your skills, and then look at where you are and go, do I want to continue here? Or would I then like to pursue the biomedical?
So I would like to see the opportunities that come out at the end of the water industry grad program that I'm currently in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always going to keep my options open.
Yeah.
I like too many things.
Yeah, I get that.
So we'll just see what comes up.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of having your like dual major.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of similar. When I started, I did chemical and biological engineering, which I stuck through. But when I initially started, my goal was to be in the biomedical industry. Because I could relate to the industry and the impact it has on people.
Oh.
Yeah, because I had scoliosis surgery when I was quite young, actually. And I was like, I want to go somewhere where I can make a difference. Like, my life was changed by that, you know.
That's fantastic.
I want to make that better.
This is what you love to hear.
Yeah. And then I realized I had to work in a lab. And I was like, nope. Definitely not. I hate lab coats. And then I was like, okay, looks like I'm going to find a different path, and I love where I am now, and I really enjoy
that's
the
fantastic
company. And like I'm definitely keen to go back to that side, so I'm kind of similar to you.
Yeah, I love it.
Got that interest, but maybe not quite practical. Yeah. And so you went through the 4-year degree.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the electrical industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, how have you found, like, obviously there's, I don't want to say stereotype because it's kind of, it's more like a fact that electrical is very male dominated. You know, process engineering is known to be more females, and then civil depends where you are, I think. And then kind of electrical is very,
is a definite gap, I would say as
gap,
well.
That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Sometimes you can feel the differences, but when you're doing what you love, you try not to let it bother you.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I've tried to stick with throughout. But there have been very challenging times being like the young female in the group when you're with, you know, however old men.
Yeah, and it can definitely feel quite daunting. And so I guess leading into that, has this been kind of a big challenge for you, feeling kind of out of place, noticing those kind of feeling maybe like the odd one out? A little bit?
Yeah, it does come up. And I think what I've been really trying to make myself focus on is that I'm there for a reason. I wouldn't have the role if I wasn't supposed to be there.
Yes.
And this is really hard.
Yeah.
But I've been reminding myself of that. And even just telling yourself that can really help. So, yes, it's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why would you be there if you weren't supposed to?
Oh, I love that. That's such a wholesome thought.
Well, it's also come up in the podcast. It's great.
Yeah, was that with Arabella?
I think so.
Yeah, we were talking about imposter syndrome. And yeah, like it is true. Sometimes when you're in the moment and you feel quite, I think, small. And I mean, I think I worry more about how people perceive me. And yeah, you kind of just get in your own head, and then you just have to take a step back and be like, did the degree, know my stuff. Very capable.
You're supposed to be there.
Yeah, like I should be here. I should talk. I probably have valuable things to add. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we're all learning how to get better at that. But yeah, how's that been in your grad program? Like learning, what have you been trying to do to get yourself to speak up when you might feel a little bit nervous too?
I have a very supportive team. And I think it comes down to the colleagues I have.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been really supportive in the sense that they have been asking
for
my opinions and my perspectives on projects. And that can be really daunting, especially like in the first months. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, like...
I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I came from a biomed electrical background. Water doesn't mix with electrical. Yeah. Well, I now know it does. Yeah. But it's just gaining confidence is a big thing. So I find that if I could even just write down some notes about how the conversation's been going, have something to fall back on when I speak up with my ideas.
Yeah.
So, just finding your people that you can also debrief with.
How
was that? Like, did I actually, like, answer their questions properly?
Yeah.
So just finding people you trust in your company has been really good for me.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's really great. I like that. I think getting feedback is really
so important.
Yeah, because I think most of the time it's actually going to be quite positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do realize that you are usually your harshest critic. I had a 30% design review a couple of weeks ago. I have no sense of time. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. And I was presenting the work I'd done. And this is like my fourth time doing a very kind of similar project. But yeah, I was so nervous.
Oh, it's so scary.
And I was like, oh my, like I was doing it and I was having to bring up this browser to show this and this, and I needed this value that I wasn't quite like prepared to do. And I was like fumbling. And afterwards, you know, I asked my lead, and I was like, how was that? She was like, no, you did great. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God. And I was like, oh damn, okay. So like, I can do this.
Yeah. Feedback is something that I guess I kind of struggled with in the past because it is so scary to ask for it. So that's been like a big thing of the grad program. Just ask your questions.
Yeah.
No one's going to, people may give you constructive criticism,
yes,
but you want that.
Yeah. Criticism, I think, can sometimes be taken as a gift rather than an insult.
So, that's wise.
Yeah, thanks. I probably pulled that from, like, She's on the Money, to be honest. I listen to that too much. Because I'm shocking with criticism. I always used to take it as a personal attack, and I get quite defensive. And I'm like, but this is why I did that. You know, this is, and I had to kind of stop and be like, well, like, they're just trying to help you.
It is really hard. Yeah. And I mean, you're going to always struggle.
Yeah.
Like, I think most of us are exactly the same.
I don't think anyone is good at taking criticism.
No, because you are going to put up your front, mm-hmm. but I think, yeah, learning how to take it.
Yeah.
It's a win.
Yeah, definitely. But bringing the podcast mm-hmm. back to your challenge of, I guess we could call it imposter syndrome.
Yep.
Do you have many other, like graduates in your team as well?
Not in my specific team. Yeah. So there are, happens to be 5 of us this intake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only electrical.
Yeah, okay.
So there's 3 process, mm-hmm. 1 comp sci and myself. Yeah. So the comp sci guy and myself, like, we bounce back off each other, which has been really good. But yeah, it's we're all spread out throughout different teams, but we have been able to chat and talk to each other about our challenges and our wins.
Yeah.
And having just like this support group of young professionals in the industry has been really, really good. Yeah. So I highly recommend grad programs.
Yeah.
Mm.
I agree. And what I was trying to get at was, you know, like, struggling with imposter syndrome, but all those other grads probably are too.
I'm feeling the same thing.
Yeah, because it sounds like you guys are kind of, you know, you're the only one for your discipline in a new place, in a new team. And, you know, they're probably feeling quite nervous about it too. And I think, sometimes it's not nice to be like, you're struggling too. But it's comforting to know that it's not just
you're not alone.
Mm.
And I've really valued, like, having people too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been great.
Oh, that's great. But so maybe moving on to the next question.
Sure.
Which is, what do you think is maybe the biggest limiting factor for women in engineering that you've experienced, that you've seen?
Yeah,
might relate to what we were talking about.
I think that one of the, like, hardest things for women is that they don't always have a role model to look up to.
Yeah.
That's something I personally struggled with.
Yeah.
I mean, and by role model specifically, like, someone that identifies as female.
Yeah.
Because it can be really challenging to see yourself. Like, how can you strive to be something if it's not something you can see?
You can't be what you can't see.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Yes. And I think that really can put people off. We're having such an amazing change in our current, like, time.
Yes.
And it's so cool to see heaps more women coming into the industry. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my sister. She just did her first semester of chemical engineering.
Yay, sister.
Yay. I'm proud of her.
Slay, you slay girl.
But, like, that's it. Like, and she chose that because that's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of her. So there is so many more people that are getting excited and interested and having the conversation has been really important. And I think that, like, from our generation, I guess.
Yeah.
We might not have had the conversation around as much. Yeah. So continuing that for future generations, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
Like this podcast.
I think you're right. I think, like, look at anything, like sport. You know, when I was a little girl, I really wanted to play rugby union.
Oh, cool.
And I did. But I played in a team of all boys. And it kind of got to a point in year 7 where I was told that I could no longer play. Because I was a girl, you know.
Makes me so mad.
You know, quote unquote, like, hormones, physical differences. And, like, sure, valid.
To an extent.
Yeah, like, yeah, I get that. But I had no role model to look to encourage me to keep going. And if I did, I think I would have pushed for it. And I would have gone, okay, well, I'll go find a different club. I'll go find someone who will let me play, but I just took it as a no. Because it's like, well, that's right. Like, I don't see anyone else doing this. And I think same thing for engineering. We do have some women in leadership now.
And it's so fantastic.
It's so great to see. I talk to them sometimes. I'm like, well, you've been on my podcast. And they're like, oh, I don't really have anything interesting. And I'm like,
you have so many interesting things to say.
I'm like, just your kind of, like, presence is, is kind of it. Like, the power, I think, of realizing that you can do it because someone else has is so powerful, and I think it makes a really big difference.
Yeah.
But I guess that's also kind of why I made this podcast, because when I was starting engineering, I didn't have a role model.
Yeah. Well, I was the same.
Yeah. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, and I want people to hear stories and be like, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And find a role model.
Like, I think back to myself in my iSTEM class of 14 other boys and the comments that were made because I was the only girl in the class and the male teacher, not that that matters, but I really was quite different.
Yeah.
And not having, like, there wasn't a female to look up to.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We were not, like, the projects were very, like, robotics and whilst robotics are sick, but they were very like, oh, gearboxes and cars and engineering is so much more than a gearbox and a car.
Yeah, it was definitely tailored maybe towards the young boys because they were typically the audience.
Exactly.
And and maybe if it was opened up a little bit more, it would be a little bit more inviting for those people that maybe are too shy.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, I was shy as a book. Like, I'm still am. Yeah. It's something you don't lose.
We're all a bit shy.
We're all a bit shy. But it's just so,
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best things that can come out of it.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. It's hard because I was at the Skirts, Yuki Skirts, is the society that I think was 20 years reunion event.
Oh, it was recently,
No, it was great. And the guest speaker, she was saying how she kind of just paved the way, like she just did her thing, and she was put on a pedestal because she was a woman and she was the chair of this, the head of this, and she was doing so well, and how she didn't want to be a token, a pedestal, but she just wanted to do her thing.
That's so relatable.
Mm.
Like the amount of times like I got from like teachers and stuff at school. Yeah. Oh, wow, you're doing the new subject or the new engineering subject. Yeah. Oh, we want to talk to you all about that. Oh, can we do this with you? Oh, like take photos. And then that kind of translates into uni. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I just want to do what I want to do because I enjoy it.
I know.
There's nothing else that matters to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what's really hard about that is for those women that have paved the way, that to us are role models.
Yeah.
They're probably really sick of being idolized. Yeah. And they're sick of being a role model. And I think it's hard because we're at this point where it's like, we want you to be like, look at me, look at what I'm doing. You can be me too, but at the same time, you want to normalize it, so you don't want to put too much of a spotlight.
Oh, you're so right.
And it's such a difficult thing that I'm really interested to see how this is going to go. And I hope that this podcast is maybe a way for that to kind of happen, for people to be like, oh yeah, I did this, I do this, I'm a big boss here, but without having that token, look at our staff member, Chloe, she's done this, she's done that, she's done this, she's done that. Yeah.
I think it's just normalizing that we all have skills and attributes, and it's that not one person is more special than the next.
Yeah.
We're all engineers because we want to be engineers.
Yes, you're so right with that. I think it would be really nice to see more people step up into being a role model, and you know, them being the people that I guess hide in the shadows, that don't get spotlighted, because I think we need to normalize women being successful, and I think a part of that is having lots of role models, but without
It's so cool. With you. That's such an awesome conversation we just had. I love it.
I feel like I really just had a light bulb moment.
I love it.
Thanks, Chloe.
Well, me too. I feel opened.
Open.
I don't know what other word.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I was thinking like a can. I was like... Anyway, so we've talked about like limiting factors, kind of role models, and we've also kind of, I guess, touched on what can be done to, I guess, overcome that. It's hard because how do you ask someone to be a role model?
That's a really hard question.
Mm.
But I think people have, like I just said, certain skills and attributes that are valued. And I guess it's the way that someone just showcases that in their day-to-day life. I think it comes down to the conversation of also just having, like, talking to someone saying, look, I really look up to you.
Yeah.
And it can just be like a coffee chat, like a one-on-one. Yeah. Just letting them know how meaningful that person is to you. And I think just having all these little small connections that are so powerful.
Yeah.
So it can be on lots of scales, but...
Yeah. I think that's a really great approach. Yeah.
Keep it simple because we don't need to exacerbate it.
Maybe this is a question. Maybe this is something to put in the Facebook group and ask people and get the conversation going. Like, as someone who's in the industry with experience, what is, like, holds you back from wanting to be a role model, or what makes you want to be a role model? What is a barrier so that we can have more of those casual connections?
I love it.
So I guess we should probably wrap up the episode. Okay. And yeah, it's been really nice to have you on, Chloe. Like, I think it's been a really fun chat.
I really appreciated it.
It's been really nice seeing you in person, I have to say.
I love it.
It's nice. It's been really nice to have you on, and I think it's been really interesting learning about your journey.
Thank you.
I think it's really impressive that you have been a minority in so many things, but you didn't let that stop you, because that can be really isolating. And I think it's really impressive that you just roll with it. You know, you're not quite in the industry that you thought you would be, but I don't doubt that you're doing it really successfully, and you're going to these network events on your own, and I think that's really brave, and you've come on this podcast to share your story, which is so nice. And I think you raised a really good point about role models, the importance of them, and how to get more role models, because I think you're right, and I think that would make a really big difference to everyone. So right. I'm going to be putting a thread in the Facebook group, not sure what it's going to look like yet. But yeah, definitely following up on, I think, the things we've talked about, and hopefully we can have some of those older women maybe drop in a comment or two. So for anyone listening that's new to the podcast, we have a Facebook and a LinkedIn group for you to join, and you can connect with everyone else that listens to the show. And yeah, I drop threads in there every time I release an episode, asking for people's thoughts on it. You know, do you relate to this? What do you think? And then a monthly wins and learnings thread. Speaking of, I was going to share a couple of the wins and learnings that were dropped in the Facebook group. Let me get it off my phone.
Oh, yay.
So we had a few. We had one from Charlotte, and she got approval to spend money on people's well-being across projects from her company.
Oh, that's huge.
That's really big. That's really exciting. And go Charlotte for initiating that, for putting a hand up, being like, this is a really important issue. Let's do something.
She's fantastic. I think that a driving force like that is so valued in our industry. So
yes.
Well done.
Go Charlotte. The next one is from Kim. She got a compliment on writing a diplomatic email to some stakeholders. And her compliment was from a senior engineer. And it was a really sensitive situation, that she said. So she slept on it before she sent it and did a final proofread. I think that's really impressive.
And it just proves the importance of just like, making sure that, like, you are fully across, like, how you're going to send... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, but I know what you mean. Like, sometimes, like, I'm a little goose. Like, I send emails and I don't really, like, fully think it through. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think, interestingly, email writing is, like, a big skill.
Actually, yes. Mm. And I was talking to my, like, the grad coordinator yesterday. Yeah. And she said, what do you think of like having a session of how to like write emails?
Yes.
And I was actually like, yes, please. Surprisingly, yes, please.
Is it appropriate for me to sign off with Slay?
The Gen Z in me doesn't know how to write emails.
Literally. Literally.
And yeah.
So go Kim.
Well done.
Yeah. And it's so nice that your senior engineer complimented you on that. That's such a nice thing. And I think.
Woman fuzzy.
Yeah. Go Kim. And then I think the last one is from Zara. So she got complimented by her manager and team for her technical report writing skills, which she wasn't expecting, because reports are not her favorite thing.
There you go.
turns out you're actually really good at them, Zara.
Transferable skills, yeah. And...
What? It's like you're competent in your job, girl.
Such a win.
Go, Zara. I'm proud of you. So, yeah. Anyway, so those are some of the wins and learnings. So, everyone, keep an eye out. I'll be dropping July, and then I'll follow up end of the month. So, have a think about anything. It can be a silly win, a silly learning. It can be a serious win, a serious learning. Honestly, anything. So, yeah. Anyway... Thanks again, Chloe.
Thanks, Lily. It was great.